This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
I hope you guys understand how much we love bringing this show to you because we have pushed on and recorded today despite it being 41 degrees. I currently have the best spot in our little podcast studio because I'm under the air conditioner, but I've got to say, my legs are like sliding off this chair. They're so sweaty.
I think that's the worst thing about having a heat wave over the weekend. There's really limited things you can do. In saying that, Amy, you have a weekend that's packed full of events. We had Dale's party last night, which you did an incredible job hosting at your house.
Oh, well, thank you. I finally got the chance to make platters on my own without the help of you guys, because normally when we have an event together, I'm not trusted to make anything. I get stuck outside cleaning up.
Yeah, Amy kind of is relegated to the outdoor tasks because she's better at doing that sort of stuff. And Sophie and I take over. But hats off to you because you did some amazing platters. I was going to eat dinner beforehand, but once I saw you Snapchat through to me that chocolate platter and also all those cheeses, I was like, that is going to be my dinner.
I did go on Pinterest to get some inspo. So I was actually like, you know, when you're actually surprised how good the stuff looks, I was like, oh, wow, I was like quite pleased with myself. It's a bit sad.
I had a realization during your party, and it was that we are well and truly in our 30s. So a group of Dale's friends, eight of them, they rocked up in the same car. I think it was a van driven by one of the guys. And basically, I thought like when they arrived, I was like, oh yeah, these guys are in for a long night. They were having fireball shots. They were getting into it. And then all of a sudden at 10:30, they just abruptly got up and left because they had to go and see their kids at home.
Can I just say, when they arrived, I honestly felt like I was on The Bachelorette because they only really knew me. And so they were all coming in. There was like a big line of them just giving me a kiss and saying, hello.
I've got to say, a highlight of the night for me was when it got down to about a group of eight and we were just debating the best chocolates and the best shapes. And I've got to say, that is such a great discussion.
Yeah, I was saying that that could be a really funny spin-off podcast, literally doing like discussing the tier system of different things. Like say it was shapes, biscuits, which ones are the best?
Well, or food hierarchies.
Yeah,
you
food
mean.
Hierarchies. How good would that be to listen to?
It's basically like a mukbang turned into a podcast, I feel, but you don't get the visual element of seeing someone eating. That being said, I feel like I'd get really irritated hearing people eat food if they were to taste the hierarchy.
Actually, that's a good idea. That could be a really good YouTube series where you have to like, where people are debating which are the best ones and you see them eating it.
I feel like no one ever is going to agree with you. Like you're just going to get a lot of hate for that because everyone has a different opinion on chocolate.
Don't make me run! I'm full of chocolate!
UK influencers are facing severe backlash as they dodge travel restrictions by claiming their holidays abroad are essential work trips. The famous Brits are losing followers in their droves as they show off their extravagant beach getaways during the pandemic. Sophie, firstly, before we get into it, can you tell us exactly what the UK lockdown rules are? Because the UK are now in their third lockdown and there seems to be a bit of confusion about how the lockdown compares to Australia's and what actually is going on.
Well, people in the UK must stay at home and only go out for a reasonable excuse. And I find this wording really interesting because something that is reasonable to you may be unreasonable to someone else.
And I think the word excuse has a connotation that if you come up with something plausible, then you can get away with actually being out and about. And I feel like it's these sorts of loopholes that have gotten the UK into the situation they are in now.
Well, they're also not as specific about traveling from your home. So it said travel should be local, which is defined as avoiding travel outside of your village, town, or the part of the city where you live. If travel is required, the guidance says people should avoid car sharing with people from outside their households. I find that really interesting because when Melbourne had their strict lockdown, people were only allowed to be 5 kilometres from their house. But I mean, how big are certain towns in England?
Well, I think we're just, because in the UK, it's very different to Australia. So it's, of course, their guidelines are going to be a little bit different. It's hard for us to sort of tear them apart when we're not living it.
Well, I think it is quite easy for us in Australia to tear apart their rules because they've obviously been extremely ineffective. I mean, we did a podcast back in June where we were shocked that the UK government allowed people to travel abroad. And I feel like that travel keeps happening, which is what we're going to be talking about a little bit later, about these loopholes that influencers are using to go to Dubai.
Well, we should probably move into essential work trips and the loopholes that UK influencers and reality stars are using to make sure that they can still travel during the national lockdown. So on the 12th of January, the UK actually announced that people would no longer be able to travel to the United Arab Emirates. And that really surprised me because the national lockdown was announced on January 4th. So I was so surprised that people were still traveling anyway.
Well, it was actually removed from the travel corridor. So basically it means that previously, if you had gone anywhere like Dubai or anywhere in the United Arab Emirates, you would not have to isolate. So now they've put in place that those people who are returning from there need to isolate for 10 days, which is also quite topical because of course, when people come home to Australia, you have to isolate for 14 days. So it's all very odd.
And interestingly, before that travel ban was put in place, a lot of the Love Island contestants have fled to Dubai. And they have increasingly been pissing people off by posting very tone-deaf travel photos and vlogs in Dubai.
Well, a lot of the influencers were trying to pass off the trip as necessary for their jobs and saying that they had endorsement deals to do over there. And it's quite hilarious because a number of the reality TV stars have made the conscious effort to be posting the fact that they're on their laptops, on their Instagram stories as soon as this new rule was announced.
Well, I found it very funny because Love Island's Olivia Attwood, who is currently based in Manchester, actually called out a bunch of her co-stars and branded their decision to travel to Dubai as tone deaf. So Olivia basically said that influencers are lying about the need to travel in order to work. And she said she's actually been doing more work at home in rainy, cold Manchester than any of them have been doing in Dubai.
I actually haven't seen any of this. Are you able to tell us exactly what Olivia said?
Well, she was getting really frustrated about the fact that influencers were posting that they're really stressed because they don't know whether they should be posting or not posting. And she actually said, that's not stress. People literally can't feed their children. We are in a national situation where there are children literally starving, being given these sad little bags of food from the government. Olivia then went on to urge fans not to troll these influencers because she explained that by commenting hate on their photos, you're actually driving their engagement up. She actually said instead that people should hit them where it hurts and unfollow them because she said that's when they're going to be start losing brand deals. And it's quite interesting because people have actually followed her advice. People like Laura Anderson, who appeared on Love Island Series 4, lost 12,000 followers after irritating followers because she actually put up a post offering to give fans a behind-the-scenes glimpse at her workday so they could see how hard it was to be an influencer.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, but what are they even doing over there? I mean, what are they promoting that they can't promote in the UK?
Well, Anton, who appeared on Love Island Series 5, and for those who don't remember him, he was the one that...
His mum shaved his bum.
Yeah, that, I was trying to think how I could put that eloquently. But yeah, his mum shaved his ass. So he actually lost 14,000 followers because he posted a photo of the skyline in Dubai with the caption, "Love my office view."
I think as soon as they rock up to the airport and fill in the forms and say that they're an influencer, that should be an immediate ban for traveling. That is not an excuse to be traveling. And I mean, part of being an influencer is to influence people's behavior. And what are they doing? Influencing people to leave the UK and go to Dubai.
Well, essentially break the rules. I do find it really interesting because if you compare, as you said, an influencer's job is to market a lot of the time travel. And at the moment, travel is not something that people in the UK can do. So would they not think that it's going to cause a lot of fury? I mean, if you think about it, would a travel agent, like, they can't work. It's not like they can say, oh, I've got to go down to the office because I'm booking a whole bunch of holidays for people.
But I don't think they're actually trying to promote travel. What they're trying to do is use Dubai and the beach there as a backdrop for to sell their product. So I think
piss off. No one wants to see them on the beach when they're at home in the cold. Well, I mean, seriously.
Well, I think that a lot of them would be promoting summer products. So they, well, I mean, they're just clearly using it as an excuse. But it was really interesting because a holiday company called Trending Travel that specializes in using celebrities to advertise said it had been forced to stop posting anything featuring influencers because of the backlash. And its chief executive, Keith Herman, said the company had advised about 15 influencers it works with and who were in Dubai against posting at the moment because the backlash is just out of control in the UK.
Well, that's what I don't get because I don't understand how a brand could be so unintelligent and think that it would be a good idea to juxtaposition their product with someone who has basically flouted the lockdown rules and has got to Dubai?
Someone who is copping a lot of flack for being in Dubai is Geordie Shore's Chloe Ferry. She travelled to Dubai before the new year despite a widespread tier 4 restrictions, and because she labelled the trip as a work trip, it allowed her to evade the strict lockdown rules banning international travel. So what I found really funny is that she claims that she has a special room in her accommodation that's a sponsored room. So that's the room where she takes all of her sponsored content in, as if that's an excuse as to why she's traveling.
I find that hard to actually believe because I follow Chloe on Snapchat and I have seen a lot of her stories regarding her building her dream home. Now, that home looked like it had about 7 different bedrooms. So surely she has a content room at home, which a lot of influencers talk about, that she could be doing the same thing. I don't know why it has to be done from Dubai.
Well, I think the thing that annoyed a lot of people is she said she was going to be there for 2 months and that she was earning £7,000 per sponsored post whilst over there. Wow. Now, she has posted a total of 31 images of herself absolutely living it up. Most of them are bikini photos, and there were one or two product placements, so you can see why people are very, very angry over this.
I don't know who actually is influenced to buy products by Chloe. Like, I just find it really funny the fact that her whole persona on Geordie Shore is being this really like sloppy drunk person, but then when they get on, she gets on Instagram, she tries to be this like glamazon, posting all these like over curated photos. I find it so hilarious.
Well, the thing I don't get is I would assume that if you're traveling for work, it should be essential work, and I would hardly say that being an influencer is essential work. It's meant to be for people who are doctors and nurses and essential workers, not bloody influencers.
Well, Chloe has actually cut the trip short, and I do think it must be coming from advice from one of her talent managers.
Another UK influencer who cut their trip short is Molly May and Tommy Fury from Love Island. And Molly has been posting a lot of lockdown vlogs at the moment. And I've got to say, if I was in lockdown, that's the content I would actually like to be consuming, not seeing people on holiday.
Do you know what, Kate? I've been loving Elle Darby's lockdown vlogs, and she's actually one of the UK influencers who has stayed put in the UK during the lockdown, but she is copping it online at the moment because it's come out that her fiance, Connor Swift, has gone and got a hair transplant during the lockdown. So they're located in Bath, and there's rumours online that they travelled to London overnight to get this hair transplant.
I do wonder if they've got around this by claiming that this is a work requirement for them, so they are allowed to travel for it.
How would it be work? Like, do you mean that it's his job to look good for Instagram photos, or do you mean that perhaps he's been provided this hair transplant for free in,
like,
you
sponsored content?
Yeah, like sponsored posts.
Oh, well, I'm referring to the fact that I think it is a sponsored job that he's doing, so he's going to get paid for promoting this place.
That's a strange concept because I don't know why a company would be promoting hair transplants if people are unable to then action that and go get one.
Well, the thing is, the reason they've been able to do it is because you are allowed to travel in the UK for medical reasons and medical appointments. And bizarrely, a hair transplant actually fits into the category of a medical appointment.
I'm so surprised because in Australia, we had a differentiation between elective surgery and surgery that was required. And all the elective surgery got cancelled in Australia, even procedures for endometriosis, which I think are obviously far more important than someone getting plastic surgery cosmetic surgery on their hair.
Well, the controversial decision to keep the transplant clinics open has been widely discussed in the UK press. I mean, one would argue that cosmetic procedures during a lockdown should not be a valid reason to travel, and a lot of people are furious about it, and a lot of people have been saying that they want to report Elle and her partner Connor in their masses. So they've been trying to work out where the pair live, because you need to know someone's address in order to report them for doing the wrong thing.
I think it'd be pretty easy to work out where they live based on where they actually vlog from. I feel like it does make a lot of sense that influencers are using this downtime to actually go get cosmetic procedures, because I know there's a lot of scrutiny around when influencers get their boobs done or whatnot. And I feel like if you have to stay in the house, there's a perfect amount of time for you to recover from something like that.
Yeah, well, one UK influencer, Jordan Carter, he's also gone and got a hair transplant, and it's clearly sponsored by this particular clinic, and it's thought that that's where Con's gone to get his transplant. And the reason that these clinics are using influencers at the moment is because travel to Turkey has obviously been stopped during lockdown, and that's where most people go to get hair transplants because they're cheap. It's kind of like Aussies who go to Thailand for a boob job. If you want to get a hair transplant, you go to Turkey.
While I don't like the fact that Con has apparently broken lockdown rules, I do like the fact that male cosmetic enhancements are becoming more of a thing that's publicly talked about.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with getting a hair transplant, but I think, can you wait to get that after lockdown? People are dying. In the UK, they're recording 1.8 thousand deaths a day. It just seems so selfish and so self-absorbed to be doing stuff like this in the lockdown.
I'm going to pour my drink on her.
Now let's get into the reality wrap. Now I'm so excited for Sunday because it's the much awaited MAFS reunion show.
Yeah, I cannot wait. The most controversial contestants are returning basically to hash over past scandals, but we all know it's just so that they argue and brawl and everyone gets really excited for MAFS to be coming back on our screens. I feel like the producers of MAFS would be kicking themselves the fact that Seb and Elizabeth broke up recently because there aren't very many contestants still together. The couples that are still together that are returning to the reunion are Jules and Cam and Erin and Bryce. They've also got Martha and Michael. However, I feel like Martha's only been brought back to fight with Cyril.
Oh, hopefully. Did you see that there were new rumors that Elizabeth is going to return for the latest series? She's already watered them down and been like, guys, this was filmed last year and we've only just announced that we've broken up. So of course I'm not going to be back on the show.
Yeah, well, I cannot wait till Sunday and we will talk about everything that goes down on that episode. I'm wondering if any wine will be thrown.
Now, this is a really sad one. Mick Norcross, who was on The Only Way as Essex, sadly passed away last week.
Yeah, this one really shocked me. I woke up on Thursday and you had sent it to me because Gemma Collins was posting about it on her Instagram. So as you said, Mick was found dead at his home on Thursday afternoon and it is believed the 57-year-old took his own life. At 7:17 on Thursday morning, Mick tweeted, "At the end, remind yourself that you did the best you could and that is good enough." This made me feel so sad. I really loved watching Mick on The Only Way is Essex, and he joined the show back in 2010 and was on it with his son Kirk up until 2013. And Mick used to run Sugar Hut, which was the bar that all the young people used to go to, and Gemma Collins had a big crush on him. And he always came across as such a lovely guy.
I think the timing of this is just so tragic, and it's so sad because obviously this has happened when the UK is in this third lockdown, and it just shows how detrimental these lockdowns can be to people's mental health.
I mean, we don't want to make any assumptions as to why Mick took his own life. His former co-star, though, did shed a little bit of light onto Mick's frame of mind around mental health. So Maria Falcone shared how Mick had actually been the only person from the TOWI cast that reached out to Mario during his battle with depression. So Mario wrote, "When I went through my battle with depression and suicide, you were the only one from the show that reached out and cared about me. You were someone I looked up to and held in the highest regard. The thought of you going through the same pain and emotional darkness I did breaks my heart." This made shivers go down my spine reading that out. It's just so heartbreaking, and it's really something that's hard to get your head around when someone is so successful. They've had fame, they're rich. It really puts life into perspective, I suppose. And what kind of pissed me off, though, is the UK press's coverage over this story, because every article talking about Mick, they used photos of him in a suit at Sugar Hut, surrounded by all these girls in bikinis, and as if it was if they were like promoting the fact, like, oh my god, look at this rich guy that's gone and done this. Like, it was just really distasteful.
Well, it really shows that depression doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter if you're the wealthiest person in the world or the poorest person in the world. Everyone can go through these dark times.
And if this topic has brought up any issues personally, or if you are struggling with mental health, please know that Lifeline is there to talk to, and the number is 13 11 14.
Well, just on a lighter note, while looking at all the tributes to Mick, I did come across TOWI star Bobby Norris's Instagram account, and oh my goodness, he looks so different.
For those who don't remember Bobby, I just get Gemma Collins' voice in my head. Bobby, I think we need to have an upsort.
Yeah, let's do an upsort.
Things so aggressive, Bobby. You do need to calm down, darling, right?
What, up against someone like you, babe? If I went into a thesaurus and looked up aggressive, there'd be a picture of Gemma Collins.
So Bobby was one of my favourite characters on TOWI, and he actually has gotten so buff. It's incredible. I did not recognise him at all. It seems like he's been using his lockdown to get fit, and good on him.
Now, for those interested, we are going to put a before and after photo of Bobby up in our Facebook community and also on our Insta story, so you've got to check it out.
Do you say that one more time, I'll rip that cheap wig off your head.
Now, let's get into the influencer wrap. And on Thursday night, I feel like my whole Instagram was full of stories about Happy Hour's live show.
I was having severe FOMO looking at this all go on my Instagram feed. They seem to have so many amazing people there, and one of those guests was Abby Chatfield. Now, she caught the attention, of course, of the Daily Mail because she got up on stage, and while she was being interviewed, she decided to demonstrate sex positions on the host, Lucy Jackson. There were some hilarious photos in the Daily Mail, but of course, the Daily Mail being the Daily Mail, they were quite disgusting when they did their write-up of what happened. So the writer wrote some pretty sexist comments about Abby's body and what she was wearing. So they described her as putting on a busty display and inserted a picture of Abby like mid-conversation with her tongue out and sort of she was looking down at her boobs. It was just so ridiculous. They also discussed how she posted a video on Instagram of herself trying on bathers, and they said she showed off her curves and flaunted her curvy derriere.
Do you know what I hate about the Daily Mail? Is they now have this trend of putting up a really unflattering photo of somebody, but they'll say something really positive like, oh, look at her at the beach, she looks great, and it's to entice other people to make negative comments.
Yeah, it's a lot of baiting going on, and you definitely can see it in the comments because people then write disgusting things. I do think though that the Daily Mail was cleverly invited to the event because there were three articles about how great the event was on the Daily Mail. The Veronicas even appeared and performed untouched. Of course, the Daily Mail, all they could talk about was how skinny the girls were in their outfits. But personally, from someone who loved the Veronicas' music, I really wanted to be there when they were singing Untouched.
Now let's move on to Olivia Rogers. Olivia flew back to her hometown, Adelaide, over the weekend for a friend's wedding, and unfortunately her trip to the airport was soured by a comment from a male security guard in his late 50s to 60s. Now this made me feel absolutely sick to my stomach. So she wore a mid-length summer dress to the airport on a very hot day and had to endure this man commenting on her outfit choice. The security guard said, "Oh, yep, that's what you wear on a hot day, young lady." Olivia responded, "Yep, it's pretty hot today." He then continued and said, "Well, you aren't wearing much at all, are you? So you can't complain." Olivia waited a little bit to see if the man then commented on the guy behind her's appearance who was wearing shorts and a singlet. Of course he did not. And it just reminded me of so many situations that I've been in where you just get these uncomfortable comments from older men. And you kind of have to laugh it off because there's not really much else you can sometimes say in those situations.
Well, I liked Olivia's responses and the fact that she then did make this experience public because, as you said, so many of us have gone through things like that and you don't know what to say. Like, I feel like you can't actually challenge these men because they don't understand what's wrong with what they've said.
Do they realize that they just sound like old pervs? Well, that's literally what they come across as. It's gross.
Well, just to wrap up, Sophie, it's not an influencer rap without Skye Wheatley.
Yeah, well, Skye Wheatley has launched a new Instagram account dedicated to her renovation project, which has been happening for about 9 months now. She shared a photo of herself on Instagram with a power tool in her hand and captioned it, "Blood, sweat and tears, 9 months of pure pain and exhaustion," then tagged the renovation page. So what I found funny was Skye was actually featured in the Gold Coast Bulletin about her renovation, and she said that she couldn't believe how many people followed the renovation page and cared about it. She said she thought maybe they'd get 1,000 followers, but the page has quickly grown to 52,000 people following it.
I've got to say, as someone who has tried to watch Skye Wheatley's renovation vlogs, I am very surprised that people are interested in it. Perhaps though, because I've found that I can't sit through unedited hour of footage of someone renovating. Like, she doesn't really fasten it up, but perhaps Instagram's a better forum for that type of content because you can see very quickly the before and the after photo.
Well, the page is very aesthetic, and the thing that I think has captured a lot of people's interest is that the house is an old abandoned mansion that they've done up. They snapped it up for $975,000 in August.
I love how you say snapped it up as if that's really cheap.
Well, an old abandoned mansion. It wasn't abandoned.
It was abandoned. And well, I say snap it up. Obviously, that's a lot of money. But for anyone who's seen it, it's on a massive property. It is a humongous house. And it's kind of like a Spanish-inspired mansion. It's looking incredible at the moment for those who have followed the page like myself.
Well, Skye seems pretty lucky because her partner Lockie is a professional shop fitter, so he has been doing the bulk of renovations himself. It's quite funny, the bits and pieces that I've seen of Skye's vlogs, he seems to be very much doing everything. And I mean, she's got a child to look after and is pregnant, but I feel like she is more the creative person behind the designs.
She's probably telling how she wants it styled. What I did find quite interesting, though, is that they seem to be in a race against the clock to have the upstairs area and the nursery finished before she gives birth. It's crazy. She's actually 6 months pregnant at the moment, so they don't have long to get it all done.
Wow, that is amazing that it's been 6 months, because I do remember when Skye revealed that she was pregnant, and I think for the first 6 to 8 weeks she didn't even know herself because it was unplanned and she thought she was just bloated from bulking.
Can you imagine that, though, if you found out you were having a child unexpectedly and you've got this whole house that's unsafe and not fit to bring a newborn child into the world in?
Well, I think renovating and a newborn baby is not a good mix for anyone. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening again. And if you would like to continue the conversation, please go to our Facebook page, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.
And if you did enjoy the show, we'd love if you could, of course, subscribe. And also, if you haven't already, could you please leave us a 5-star review, because it really helps us out.